Bible sincerely believed and faithfully taught. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our pastor and teacher, Chris Gordon.
Grateful that you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio, and I'm Pastor Chris Gordon, and we are thankful to bring these radio broadcasts to you. We are continuing our study of the church in Philadelphia, and you know that we've been studying that the Lord Jesus Christ tells the church that he has given them an open door. He's opened a door for them that no one can shut. So here the Lord was calling the church to recognize the very unique opportunity that he had given to them. It would require wisdom. It would require understanding of their setting. You get to go and make known Christ and his gospel and his death and his love. And the Lord is saying, I've so opened the door that many are going to come in. Now, do we ever think about this? This is something so important today that the Lord has given us an open door wherever we are. You think about that. Are we aware of the open door that he's given to us? I see it. Do you? When the church was told by Christ, I'm assuming by the things that Christ now observed, the church was reluctant to act upon it. I say that because Christ acknowledges there are some real deterring factors of their boldness to go out and do and tend to this great opportunity. What does he say in verse 8? I know that you have little strength. This was not a powerful, resourceful church. My guess is they were very small in comparison to the city. Their resources were little. It could have been a variety of things. Maybe many of them were of a lower socioeconomic class in the city. Maybe they were poor. Christ says, I see you have little strength. You're weak. They just didn't seem like they have what it takes to accomplish so great a task. And then we read this further, that this church was not well-liked in the community. The Jews, which again Christ calls a synagogue of Satan, were persecuting them. This is a really important point. I read this yesterday, but I want to read it again. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet to know that I've loved you. Now, do you see the claim there? The blood Jews were saying, no, he's our God. And they were not worshiping Jesus Christ. And the Lord is saying, no, I'm going to make them, who are synagogue of Satan, the Jews, I'm going to make them come, and they're going to bow down, and they're going to worship, and they're going to know that I've loved you. That there is no longer this distinction of blood and lineage and nationality, that the gospel has tore all that down, and the true Jew, as Romans 2 tells us, is inward. It's not outward. I wish the church, the Christian church, would listen to this today. The true Jew is not outward but inward in the circumcision of the heart. It's not the circumcision of the flesh. So this was the challenge. They were being greatly resisted by the Jews. And we have no idea often how bad that conflict was in the first century. Remember, they had killed Stephen, a young man named Saul, who would become Paul. And they would even persecute Paul all the way to Rome, and they were bent on destroying this new sect called Christians. And further, it seems that Jesus is forewarning them of a persecution to come. A great test was coming upon the whole world. We see that in verse 10. Something big was coming. And I quote, to test those in this hour of trial that will soon come upon the whole world. I think it's safe to say that Christians were about to get heavily persecuted. Whatever the case, what do you think would have been this church's response? They have no strength. They have no resource. The city is full of hatred against them. They're going to face persecution. Lord says, in the middle of that, I've opened a door for you. Now, what an amazing moment. What do you think they're saying? Well, the tendency would be to say, Lord, this is not the right time. We need better circumstances. We need better scenarios. This is not just ambitious. This can't be right to go out there now. You don't advance at times like this. You just protect yourselves. You just retreat. You stay covered. Isn't it amazing that Christ says in the midst of all this, I just opened a door wide open for you. We need to remember this. The Lord has always called his people not to sit back and live a comfortable, easy, drinking it up, eat, drink, and be merry kind of life, but to count the cost for his name. I love how one pastor said it. The church urgently needs Christians of apostolic zeal who will count all things lost for Christ, comfort, career, and reputation for him. The open doors are many, but there are few who go through them. The Lord is telling this church, go through the door, lead many through it. You've been given so much. How much grace, how much love. Everyone's going to know I love you. I strengthen you. Why do you think you're here? And that's the question for us, isn't it? Why are we here? The answer to that is because we are his witnesses. Others need this. And Jesus is saying, as I've freely given it to you, freely give it to them. I quoted yesterday. I just love this passage. I think it's so amazing. When Paul was on his missionary journey in Acts, we read that after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. This is what we should be hearing. Come, help these starving souls. The door is open. Come, help us. Do you know how many people need our help and don't even realize it? Who is that? Here's what really moved me, dear listener. If you get anything this week, this is it. Really moved me about this passage. It dawned on me. Who was the door open to? Well, as a strategic place of travel in Philadelphia, surely this had to have been focused on the lost of that region, right? I mean, that's what we always think. It's always about the lost. But the Lord tells us something else here of who he has in mind. Look at what he's going to do, verse 9. Indeed, I will make those who are synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I've loved you. We have no idea how awful that struggle was. The Jews believed they were the true Israel. And the Lord here makes clear his love is for his church. They are the ones whom he loves. That tension was fierce because the church was called to minister to the Jews. That was the reverse dilemma, the amazing reversal the Apostle Paul talked about in Romans 11. Paul said in Romans 11 that by this mystery would be that through their fall, this is talking about the Jews, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation would come to the Gentiles. But then Paul went on to explain that as the Gentiles went about preaching Christ and coming into the kingdom, receiving the Jewish Messiah, it would then provoke the Jews to jealousy, and many of them, through the Gentile message, would become saved. So that's how the Jews would be brought in. It's an amazing thing. Here's what the Lord Jesus Christ just said. I'm going to bring in a whole bunch of ethnic Jews. And through your witness, through your gospel preaching, they're going to come and they're going to worship me, says Christ. And here's what I'm amazed with. What do you think the Christians in Philadelphia would have thought about that initially? I'm just assuming. But I think it went something like this. Them? That's who you're opening the door to? You want us to bring in the Jews? That's the open door? And the Lord is saying, as you freely have received, freely give. As you've kept my word, spread my word. I've given you a door. Now, I find this just overwhelming. that the Lord always had of the Jews, a remnant according to the election of grace. That's what Romans 11 tells us. But that they would be brought into the same tree, just like the Gentiles were brought in to the same tree, that reversal. But here's what it tells me. Sometimes the open door that the Lord gives us is not to the situations and peoples we think it should be. Sometimes those who need our help the most are those we would never expect, nor would we ever choose to minister to. And that, dear listeners, just how our Lord works. I see a great tragedy in the church today where people kind of handpick their churches and they handpick the people they want, the church they want to be with. And, you know, we almost operate on this paradigm that we pick our own church members. Do you realize the Lord has not given you that liberty? You don't pick who you sit next to in the pew. That the Lord himself chooses whom he will put next to you that you might show forth him. Now, were you that easy to love? Were you that easy for Jesus to love? Jesus did it sacrificially, and you were terrible. I was terrible. None of us were lovely when he chose us. And often he is opening the doors, not just to bring in and save, but test those who are doing the ministry about the sincerity of their love for Christ and his church. I believe this testing goes on all the time. Now, let me apply this. I'll come back to that question. Do you think an open door has been opened to us and to you and your town? But think about where you are. Think about where you are. I minister in a very interesting context here in Linden. But, you know, where are you? What city are you in? Have you given consideration to where the Lord has placed you to minister? To where your church is? Think about it. How do you minister in a place where every corner has a church? That would have been unheard of in the early church. And this is something we face with in the States. There are churches on every corner. We face a very unique scenario. With any church you want, any church you can get, you know what that's created, of course? You've got a church smorgasbord here in the States where church has been totally and completely marginalized. Doesn't mean much to anymore to belong to a church. And then you got all the extremes. You get two kinds of burnout. Burnout due to legalism, burnout due to contentless evangelicalism. Take the latter. When everyone's done the contemporary thing, at some point it just becomes the traditional thing, doesn't it? When everyone's trying to do the most relevant thing in the church and everyone buys into it, doesn't it make it quite unrelevant? Relevancy only has power when it's defined by Jesus, who upholds the church by his word and spirit. When the power of the church is centered on human wisdom, you will create an environment of expectation that has to burn out. And when the response to this is swinging the pendulum to one extreme, you end up creating a lot of disillusioned people within the church. Here's my point. We all think ministry should be down in downtown Vancouver, downtown Seattle to the homeless and pulling in the down and outs. Amen. But that's not my setting here. We're in a post-Christian culture. John 3:16 doesn't mean much to people anymore. Everyone's heard that. Do you see the open door? What an opportunity. Make known Christ with excitement. People will ask, what is that? We've never heard this gospel. And that, dear listener, is in the religious community. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are thankful that you've tuned in today. We are a listener-supported program. We welcome your prayerful and financial support. Write us, Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.